When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
We've been talking a lot about schools as schools are putting forth their plans for the fall and what they're going to do, and many reversing course, including CPS, Chicago Public Schools, making the announcement that for the fall, at least, they're no longer going to do that hybrid model that they suggested. They're not going to do any in-school learning. They're going to do completely remote. And some other school districts are following suit this week, announcements from so many different districts across our area that they will also follow that lead or made that decision on their own, as the case may be. Well, the Archdiocese of Chicago, the Catholic schools there, is making a very different decision, and they're deciding to do full-time in-school learning, saying it's in the best interests of children and our mission. And that's what the decision is. Let's find out more about how they're going to do that. And if you have questions about it, call or text us, 312-981-7200. Justin Lombardo is joining us with the Chicago Archdiocese. He's the Chief Human Resources and Staff Development Officer over there. And Justin, thanks for calling in. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing well, Anna. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad you're with us, because it's interesting, because when I've seen the surveys, it seems as if parents, many of them overwhelmingly seem to support some form of in-school learning or hybrid learning. And I wonder if you're, first off the bat, are you getting calls from parents who are trying to come into the Catholic schools because of that decision, or is that not really happening?
Well, actually, it's a good perspective to start with. We are getting calls from parents who are facing a really tough decision, Anna. As you know, it's a tough thing to decide what's the best solution for my family, my children, at this point in time, given both what the schools themselves are doing, but the larger context of where we are in Chicago and the surrounding areas with the pandemic. So it's a tough decision. So we're getting parents that are calling and asking about the schools, how we're going about this, what's going on, and my understanding is other private schools within the area are getting the same kind of calls.
I know one of the issues in CPS, which may not be an issue for you, I don't know, is overcrowding. You have classrooms that even when you split them in half, they don't really allow for that social distancing to happen and that kind of thing. Is that part of? I mean, speak to that in terms of what you're looking at, and you know how you kind of looked at everything to make that decision.
Sure. Well, and that's a good place to start. So yeah, our plan for reopening has been percolating and in review and in build for several weeks. And we started from a place that I think makes the best place to start, which is we looked at the guidance from competent health authorities. We started with looking at guidance from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. We then got input through the Chicago Department of Public Health, looking at what they were saying would be allow for safe reopenings of schools as well as community groups, as well as what are the really important mitigation strategies. We looked at all that information, and we added to that, we engaged two physicians whose specialty is infectious diseases, and these are people that are board certified in that specialty, and they also sit on the faculty of the Feinberg School of Medicine at Northwestern University, and they were part of building our plan. So we started from looking at all those things. Now we've been pleased to know that the Chicago Department of Public Health looked at our plan, and the first thing they did is they recognized that our school system is different than CPS. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of people are wondering. Why are the Chicago Public Schools not, and why are the Catholic schools going ahead with face-to-face? It comes from the recognition from the health authorities that our situations are different. Fundamentally, and they are then supporting our plan for reopening within in class. Our schools are different in that our class sizes tend to be smaller because our schools are smaller. And so that allows us a greater flexibility. We also have multiple buildings on most Catholic school campuses. You have parish halls, you have a church basement that allow an expanse into space that's not used. Our cohort model was different as well. So looking at those things, it allowed us to build a plan that met the criteria for safety in a way that we were comfortable, we were protecting the children, the students, and the staff with the mitigation strategies. So that's where we are. Now, we would want to say very clearly and have everybody understand that if the guidance changes from these competent authorities, who we are still in contact with and will remain in contact with, if the guidance changes and the situation changes, we are ready to adapt and pivot to a different reality as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because we've talked to a number of leaders in education in recent weeks as decisions are being made and concerns are being listened to, and they're getting an earful, and I'm sure you are too, from the different, you know, the different people within the system, and there are so many individual concerns. As you rightly point out, it's a very personal decision in some ways. There are very personal concerns that come about, underlying conditions at home and things like that, and how, you know, mitigation techniques. How do you get kids to wear the mask, and can they wear it all day? And what sorts of things are you hearing as you, you know, as people weigh in when you make this decision?
Sure. Well, I would say that you got them down. I mean, we're hearing the number of things that you're talking about. We're hearing about concerns about social distancing and what do you do with a child who can't wear a mask or doesn't, you know, are they going to keep them on? There's a lot of concerns. I would start by saying, and it's something you referenced at the beginning, overwhelmingly, our parents told us they wanted their children to return to in-class learning, if at all possible, if we could do it safely. And we listened carefully to that, and so we came from that place. We also came from the place, and I believe it was in June of this year, the American Association of Pediatricians put out a statement saying that any school districts or states that were looking at reopening schools should start from a goal of trying to have the students return to classes, to in-class learning. And they predicated that statement on their working knowledge of the fact that the development of a child is much better with in-person learning, that it takes into account a greater sense of the multi-dimensions that go into truly educating and developing a child. And that's a powerful statement. And when you think of the expertise of the group that sent that out, that is a powerful statement. So balancing that against the concerns and what we're hearing, we thought we can answer the concerns that come in because we do believe we're doing the best thing for the kids and their families at this point. So we take the calls in. We listen to people's concerns, and we try and solve what we can solve to. But at this point, we don't have any evidence that our plan is not a good plan. So we're staying with it. I would add one final thing, Anna, that we are providing, in addition to in-class learning for our students in the Catholic schools, for those families where it is not yet the right time, for whatever reason, for them to have their children back in class learning, it may be a condition of the child, it may be just uncertainty, we are also offering distance learning or e-learning options for those children so that they don't lose the connection to their classmates in the Catholic schools, because we consider maintaining that connection as critical to our mission. So we're adapting as best we can to the concerns.
Justin, hang on a second here. I want to ask you about, you mentioned parents. You overwhelmingly heard from them that they want to return. I want to ask you about teachers and administration and staff.
Sure.
When you polled them and what you heard there. And we'll pick this up in a minute here. Weigh in, call in, 312-981-7200 if you have questions about this or like to voice about your opinions or concerns about what's happening in your school district. Feel free to do that. And we'll be back with Justin Lombardo from the Chicago Archdiocese in a moment. Back here with Justin Lombardo from the Chicago Archdiocese. Unlike CPS, they have decided to open up the schools for in-class learning. And just to clarify there, Justin, is that 5 days a week or are you splitting it up like hybrid kind of thing? How is that working?
This may be good news to the parents, but maybe not so much for the students. It is going to be 5 days a week in class. It's back to when we all grew up, and it was 5 days. So, yes, we believe that the full-time option works with our cohorting model, and that most of our space requirements will allow it. So we're going for 5 days full-time.
Okay, and then if there is an infection, if someone gets it, the plans for that are what?
There are very clear procedures, again, based on the guidance from local health authorities around that. So our cohort model, which is the notion of you keep the same group of students together, okay, without mixing with other students for their entire school day. And that cohort stays together not just for the one day, but throughout the learning process. They are served primarily by one teacher, and instead of the children changing for specialized subjects, the teachers will change rooms. So that's a critical part of understanding our response if a child actually becomes ill, or even if the teacher does. Based on the guidelines that we have, which are the guidelines that have been accepted by both the CDC and CDPH and IDPH, we would immediately, on confirmation that there is a positive case of a child in a cohort, the cohort would be notified, the parents would be notified, and the cohort would then quarantine for the next 14 days, along with the teacher. And the teacher would be asked to quarantine as well. And the learning will continue online at that point, so that we don't, the children don't miss those 14 days.
Okay.
So we're looking at the eventuality of what happens if. Each one of those cases, by the way, will then be reported, tracked, and reported to CDPH or IDPH, so that they can look at our data and say, we're beginning to see a pattern, or this is an isolated case. Because the thing we have to recognize is we don't know where that one individual case may have come from, where the exposure and the infection happened. So you have to look, obviously, when you're tracing, you look for patterns. So they will have that data, and we'll stay in contact with them.
Okay, and a cohort, again, is what? That's another kid? Is that what
that's I'm sorry, a cohort is a group of children.
Group.
So the cohort is a group. I apologize, I wasn't clear.
No. I'm learning all the new terminology. We all are. And my sister's an educator. She always uses stakeholders. And I'm like, okay, stakeholders. Okay, that's all
there
the
you
important
go.
People
and
who needed to voice their opinions. Cohort is a group.
The group of the students, right, in this case. So we're looking at cohorts around roughly 20 to 24 people, 20 kids in it. And they are the group that will stay together for their learning. Back in the day, I don't know when I was educated in primary school, we didn't change classrooms. So it would have been everybody that was in the class for us. We would have been the cohort. So it's the group you stay with and learn with.
Okay. Got that. And can people find all this information somewhere, someplace?
Yes, it's plan is up on the website for the Archdiocese, which is Arch Chicago, www.archchicago.org, and they can see what our plan is. It's also been distributed to all our principals, all the pastors of our parishes have the information, so it's readily available for people to look at.
All right, we're going to go to the phones here and talk to people, but I did want to ask you this one question. 708, ask Mr. Lombardo about Catholic high schools in the Archdiocese. I believe they have a different plan from the parish schools, Bill and Mokina.
Right, they are different, and one of the things we need to recognize is they may be a Catholic school within the confines of the Archdiocese, but they are run under a separate governance. So each one of the Catholic high schools, with one, I think there's one or two exceptions that are related to a parish, but most of them are independent bodies, and they have the option to have different plans than we have for the Archdiocese.
All right, Justin, thanks for joining us and laying out some of those plans. People can find them on the Archdiocese website, I assume, with all the details if they want to get them.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome stuff. Thank you.
Thank you.
Justin Lombardo there. He's the Chief Human Resources Staff Development Officer with the Archdiocese. Let's go to the phones here. Let's see. Marie, you are a teacher at a Catholic school, right?
I've been teaching for 28 years, and I dedicated my life to the school system. And my concern is one that's a little bit different than some of the smaller schools. I'm in a large school. We have more than 650 kids. And my cohort, and I understand because I read the whole 23-page proposal, and I'm on my school's team. My cohort is 24 children, and I've been to my classroom, and I cannot get my desk any farther apart than 2 feet apart. And that's just scary because I've given my life, and I'm afraid that that's what's going to happen. I'm going to end up giving my life because we're going to have an outbreak.
Have you voiced this concern? I mean, is this the kind of thing that you've brought up to anybody? Is there a forum for that to happen?
Well, you know what, it's sort of halfway done because the letters that came out to us told us to talk to our principals and that the principals would take into consideration our fears. And, you know, that's wonderful. My principal is wonderful. She's worked the entire summer to try to get us back to school, and she's working her butt off. And really, all they did was they hand the CDC guidelines to the schools, and they said, try to make it work for you guys. And I understand every school is different.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, I'm going to be one of those teachers. I departmentalized, so all three classes that I teach will have 24 children in it, and so I will go to three different classrooms, but I'm considered part of my cohort family. So if someone within my family, in my cohort, I should say, gets sick, then I will quarantine with them. But if someone in another class that I'm teaching gets is positive, I will not be part of that, and we will still be in school. Only the teacher who is in that cohort, the family member of the cohort, will stay home.
Yeah.
And then my other concern is I'm allowed to move freely about my room in my 24 kids, but when I go to another classroom, I can't go near those other children. I'm going to have to direct teach, which I have to stand in front of the room, probably behind a plexiglass, and teach. So I can't even give independent, or I can't really help them at all.
One-on-one kind of thing.
Right, I can't do that because that's not part of their guidelines. We have to stand in front, and that just really concerns me. And I'm thinking, I understand that a lot of parents want, I don't know who he was talking to, because as I said, 650 kids in my school, and I have not heard from one parent that said, yeah, we're going back.
Okay.
And the catapult model that they sent, that's the company, they told us originally, unless it's changed. But 2 weeks ago, when I was on with a woman whose name was Phyllis in a Zoom meeting with the Archdiocese, she said only five kids per school were going to be invited to catapult.
Oh, my gosh. Well, these are all concerns, and I just wonder, whew, there's answers on the website, because it doesn't seem as if you can have an answer for if your desks don't move more than 2 feet apart. That's, what do you do? What do you do in that situation? And I imagine there'll be a lot of different issues just like that once you get to school, it's like, wait a minute, what do we do with this? And what do we do with this? And, therein lies the difficulty. Stay on the lines here. We're going to pick up your phone calls on the other side of this, but I do have to break, get to the news, and then return to this issues, your concerns about the schools reopening or not. All right, so CPS and so many school districts have decided, you know what, we're not going to be doing any in-school learning, but the Archdiocese, and we just heard from a spokesman there, telling us that they will continue with their plans to return to the classrooms next month when school begins. So they'll begin in class 5 days a week. It sounds like full classes. So I know CPS's plan originally was that hybrid model, right? We're learning all these new words. Hybrid model was like 2 days a week. Half the class would go 2 days a week, the other half. This is the full class, is our understanding. Now, he was explaining that the buildings, they have more buildings on their sites to utilize, and class sizes are typically smaller in the Archdiocese. Those are some of the reasons. They said that they're more equipped to do that kind of thing. And Cheryl, you've been waiting on our phone line there for a long time. Thank you for that.
That's okay.
What's on your mind?
Well, I'm a 76-year-old grandmother of a child who goes to St. Monica's on the northwest side in Chicago. And I babysit for my grandson because my daughter works. And they just received a letter from Ray Coleman, the principal, on Tuesday. And it doesn't say anything like this. In fact, it says that the children will not be required to wear masks outside of the classroom, which means you're going to have a situation in the hallways. They only have one building for their school. He is in a class of 26 children. Nothing about when they're going to clean, any schedules of any kind, no temperature checks. Just make sure they're not sick when they come to school. Well, we all know how that works. In addition to this, the catapult model, they have not been told, nor was it in the document that my daughter received, the catapult model, nobody said anything about there only being five slots per school.
Yeah, that seems strange. I want to get some confirmation on that.
Yeah, because they have not been told that, because my daughter, for several reasons, would like to put her grandson, my grandson, into virtual learning. I think this is extremely irresponsible of the Archdiocese to come out with something 2 weeks or less before school is supposed to start.
Cheryl,
and as I said, nothing about temperature checks, when they're going to clean the classrooms, nothing. And I will call your attention, one last thing, and I'm going to stop. I will call your attention to the reopening plan of St. John's Lutheran on Montrose in Chicago. It is a document that is detailed, beautifully written, and follows the IDPH guidelines and the CDC guidelines. nothing we have received at St. Monica's follows any of those guidelines.
Cheryl, thank you. Your line's breaking up a little bit there, too, so I just wanted to, you know, that's the thing, is do parents know about all this? I don't know. Was this just decided? It sounds like the decision, they made a decision early on that it seemed like the Archdiocese was leaning this way, and they spent some time this summer ironing out the plans. Now, have they planned for everything? I bet there's a strong possibility there are things that are going to come up, and it's interesting that some parents are telling us that they didn't hear about any of this yet, or that just had this letter go home earlier this week. Sarita, you are a parent. Let's hear from you on this. What does that caller, did you just hear the caller right before you? Is that sound like your experience? Is that what you're experiencing at your house?
Okay, so well, my daughter is an eighth grader, and I sent an email about a month ago to the reopening email that the Archdiocese, you know, asked us to send an email with questions, concerns. I've yet to receive a response from them. I've received a response from a representative stating that I would hear something back. However, as being a stakeholder, I'm a parent. I have an alumni that graduated in 2012, and I have an eighth grader now. As far as what that teacher stated about the five students with the catapult, she is actually correct. I spoke with someone as well on Monday who informed me the same thing, about only five students per, she mentioned, per grade level.
Hey, Sarita, that's what help us understand, if we're not in that school district, is Catapult would be the only way to do remote learning?
So this is what was, this is the information that was sent out, that some schools will be having the third party, you know, come in, will do the virtual learning, they'll be responsible for the virtual learning. This is something new. I think they're based out of New Jersey, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that they would be responsible for the e-learning, especially if the other teachers would be daily in the classroom. My concern is the 20 to 24 plus students. I'm a nurse. I've been an RN for 20 plus years, so I'm concerned about that. Our family lost three people in the month of March, died due to death of COVID. Oh, yes. I know in middle school there's two out of three teachers with underlying health conditions. So I'm concerned about them as well. I don't think it's thoroughly thought out. I commend the other school districts that are putting the students and teachers and staff health at risk to do the 10-week and, you know, remote learning. I'm not confident with this. I don't think the plan is thoroughly thought out. We just got a survey last week on last Friday that we had until this Friday to complete. So I wonder whether the results from the survey from the parents are being, you know, the results are from.
Yeah, and was your student selected to do this remote learning? Is that what you're telling us? And you had to be selected?
No, absolutely not. Nothing is in stone. They're still trying to encourage parents to register. Okay. I know for sure that my daughter's school lost families.
Yeah.
Because they're not comfortable with this. You know, I understand the importance of the emotional aspect. Believe me, I do. But I just feel that it's not safe at this time. You know, they can barely maintain during a regular flu season when parents are still sending their kids with runny nose, high fevers, temperatures, because they need somewhere to send the kids. And so now we're getting ready to come up against flu season, and this on top of this is going to be a disaster.
I take it your kid's going to be doing remote, is it right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Sarita. And what I heard from the Archdiocese is that you can do remote. That option is there for you, absolutely, if you want it. And they're not forcing you to go back to school, and that they're designing a program that you wouldn't miss out on anything if you choose that option. Now, this idea that the only five students qualify, we got to figure that out, because I did not hear that when we talked with the Archdiocese spokesperson, just talked to us moments ago. Hey, Valerie, go ahead. You're on WGN. Weigh in here.
Hi. Yes, I taught for the Archdiocese for 30 years. I, you know, recently retired, and then I became a substitute. And I just wonder how they're going to handle that, because when a teacher is ill, they have to find their own substitute, and the list is usually pretty short. But if they can't get a substitute, and I'm certainly not going to do it this year because of the COVID, their usual plan is they split them up into other teachers' classrooms. But I'm assuming they can't do that this year.
Right. As a substitute, I bet you're going to be in demand, though, with all the parents who are looking for tutors. Is that something you're already, is your phone ringing already?
No, I'm really not interested in that.
You don't want to do it.
I had my 30 years.
But you're still serving as a substitute. Is that what I understand?
Right.
You'll do
yeah.
that. All right.
It's hard to find substitutes. You know, the pay is low, so, you know, people don't want to do it. And now, I mean, I don't feel like I care to risk my life mm-hmm. to do it.
So if you got the call now to be a substitute teacher, you would not do that currently in these conditions?
No, I would not.
No. All right, thank you.
And I can't imagine that the Archdiocese is going to provide any kind of PPE for their teachers.
Well, you'd hope so. Yeah. I would think that that would have to be sort of a standard thing if people don't have them or forget them and that kind of thing. And kids, too, right? You got to make sure you have all that stuff and enough to start the school year off. That's got to be an issue. Thank you, Valerie. Thanks for calling in to WGN. And stay well. Be well.